I'd like to start today's message by asking you three quiz questions about the tongue. You can tell I've been watching Jeopardy lately. Number one, to stick out one's tongue at someone is universal language used to express disdain. True or false? Who said false? You're right. You're right. The answer is false. In Tibet, sticking out one's tongue is a form of greeting. A cautionary note, however, if you travel there, I suggest that you observe for a while before trying it out. Number two, a blue whale's tongue weighs as much as an elephant. True or false? Who said true? Marshall, you're on a roll. The answer is true. Dick checked me out on this. He said it can't be, but a tongue of a blue whale can weigh more than 2 tons. More than 2 tons. Number three, the tongue heals faster than any other part of the human body. True. True. So the next time you burn your tongue, notice how long it takes before it feels better. The tongue is truly a remarkable member of the body. As a child, I used it as a personal status symbol because I could and still can show off by touching my nose. I used it to help me learn how to print my name. And then later to help me play the piano. But then as I gave up my childish ways, I came to appreciate the tongue for what it could do in not one but 2 more fundamental respects. First, the tongue allows us to taste. Can you imagine what eating one of life's primary pleasures would be like if everything tasted precisely the same? If there were no such thing as a sweet taste, or a salty one, sour or spicy, where would the enjoyment be? Yet, as it is, God gave each of us almost 10,000 taste buds. 10,000 taste buds. And then replaces them approximately every 8 days. These are the receptacles. So that the taste buds stay effective in doing their job. Secondly, I think probably most importantly, it is the tongue that enables us to speak. Clearly, it's much more than a slab of flab. It's actually made up of not 1 or 2, but 8 muscles. And it is those 8 muscles which allow us to formulate words. It was Ralph Waldo Emerson who made the fascinating observation that presumably if the tongue had not been framed for articulation, we would still be like beasts in the forest. Animals can squeal, snort, whine, bark, cackle, and grunt, but they can't talk. As it is, however, the average person speaks about 11,000 words a day, easily. Yet, have you ever heard anyone say, "I can't talk anymore because my tongue is too tired"? Don't you wish, Dick? Who can overestimate the miracle of the tongue? Little, but oh so precious. As we heard from Margot this morning in her reading of James, the epistle reading, just as in the case of ships, it is the rudder, that very small part of the boat that points the direction the ship will go, so too our tongues, as little as they are, direct the very course of our lives and the lives of those around us. This morning's message, be careful. Be careful how you use your tongue. Be careful what you say. One of my favorite preachers, John Ortberg, once made the comment that we make a big deal of 16-year-olds who pass their test and get a driver's license because driving a car is a life or death deal. But then he asked, what if we had a Department of Motor Mouths requiring that we have a license to operate our mouths? Because the tongue is every bit as powerful as a car. It is a source of life or death to the soul. Some people talk as if they are driving bumper cars all day long. Crash, oops, crash, oops. But for the record, words can kill. So that that doesn't happen, let's turn our attention to the tongue's three gatekeepers listed on the cover of the bulletin. Gatekeeper number one. Is what you are saying true? Because as most of us know, if it is not, it will likely only be a matter of time before the truth is revealed. Let me illustrate. A butcher was trying his best to make a go of it, but had pitifully little meat to offer his customers. So a man walked up to the counter and asked for a chicken. The butcher reached into the freezer, pulled out his one remaining bird, put it on the scale, and said, there you go, that's 2 pounds. Oh, said the customer, I'm going to need more than that. The butcher, not wanting to lose a sale, put the chicken back into the freezer and pulled out the very same one. Okay, he puts it back on the scale and says, this one is 3 pounds. Great, says the customer. I'll take them both. So, gatekeeper number one, is it true? Another gatekeeper, is it necessary? A true confession. My father was a pastor, as I've said before. He got 4 weeks vacation time, during which we, as a family, often took long, long car trips. One hot August, we drove to California from Minnesota. There were 6 of us, tightly packed in our little sedan. There were no seat belts then, and certainly there was no air conditioning. Yet our proverbial carrot was the hope that at the end of the day, we would stay at a motel with a swimming pool, which we usually did, except not this time. And I was not a happy camper. I stormed into the room and started my rant. This place is a dive. It's disgusting. I can't believe that you would pay to stay here. It's dirty, it's... And I had more things that I intended to say. Until, just then, the bathroom door opened, and the person who emerged was not one of the family. She was on staff at the motel, and she was there to supply us with extra towels. Who was it? Was it a relative of the owner? Was it the owner? I'll never know. What I do know is how much I wanted to eat those words. But as my father often reminded us, boys flying kites can haul in the white winged birds. But you cannot do that when you've let fly with words. Thoughts unexpressed will fall back dead, but God himself can't kill them once they've been said. Gatekeeper number two, Is it necessary? Is it really necessary to be as critical as we so often are? And to what end? And now the third gatekeeper. Is it kind? This story actually happened in Minnesota at a Catholic high school there. There was a woman on staff whose name was Sister Helen. She was an English teacher, and one of her students was named Mark Eklund. Mark Eklund was no one she would forget. He was funny. He loved to make his classmates laugh. He was not an outstanding student, but he was a charmer. He was very kind. He was engaging. Normally, the class had a good feel to it, but not this particular day, because someone had said something very hurtful to another student, and the whole tenor in the classroom had changed. And so Sister Helen decided to take action. She asked the class to sit in a circle and then to go around the room and for each one to give one word that honestly and kindly described every person there. The students were to write down the words that pertained to them. Sister Helen began with her descriptive word, and then the classmates followed. Well, fast forward several years. As it happened, Sister Helen went away on a vacation. And when her father picked her up at the airport, he asked, "Do you remember having a Mark Eklund in any of your classes?" "Of course I do," she responded. "Why do you ask?" "Because," he said, "he was killed in Vietnam, and they are having a memorial service for him next week." Sister Helen immediately made plans to go and was at the wake when Mark's father flagged her down. Thanking her for coming, he told her that he'd been sent Mark's wallet. And then he added, "I want you to see this." Opening the billfold, he took out a worn piece of paper that obviously had been folded and refolded many times. And Sister Helen looked at it and immediately recognized it as that list of all the good things that Mark's classmates had said about him. "Thank you," Mark's father said. "Thank you for these words that gave Mark life." And I believe that just as that father thanked her, God thanks us for all the times when we have used words to give life to each other. Words have power because words can create. In Genesis, when God spoke, God created the universe and all that is. When Jesus spoke, as in today's gospel text, he created healing. And when we speak, we can create forgiveness, we can create understanding, we can create encouragement. We can give unconditional love through our words. Jesus lives in us so that his words in our mouths might be his words too. And that is the power of the tongue. To make our words create what he wants. Thanks be to God for the miracle of the tongue. Amen.